Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.
This podcast is sponsored by Lucky California. It's finally back, football season, and your neighborhood Lucky California can help you celebrate at the tailgate party or on the couch. Grab a tray of wings, turkey or ham sliders, dips, and more. And don't forget, Lucky California has awesome prices on adult beverages, and you save 10% more when you buy just 4 bottles. Plus, you can order online and have it delivered so you never miss a snap. For all your football fun, start with Lucky California, the golden state of eating.
Time for our biweekly conversation with the general manager and Hall of Famer, San Francisco Giants, John Lynch. John, how the hell are you?
Hey, Tommy, I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Good. I know we're going to get into Trey Lance quite a bit during the segment here, but I got to know, where was Trey Sermon? I mean, I thought he was kidnapped. I was like, where is he? He was really good the week before. I thought he ran the ball really hard the week before. Talked to Kyle, and he goes, yeah, I thought he ran the ball hard. I was like, where did he go? How come I'm just curious. I know you guys have your reasons, but why didn't he factor into the game plan more?
Yeah, you know, I understand why you think that, because I thought the same thing. I thought he was improving each week. You know, I guess the bottom line is Elijah Mitchell came back, and Elijah had been really good prior to getting injured, hurting his shoulder. I thought Elijah came back and was running the football well, and we ran the ball out with Trey. And so I think you couple those two things, and there weren't that many carries.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the best explanation. But I can tell you that everybody is very pleased, even the one-run Trey.
Yeah.
Sermon had. I think he went for 8 or 9 yards. So, you know, Trey's really on the right track. We're proud of his development, and I expect to see him as part of us, you know, in a bigger way moving forward.
And then Trey Lance, I thought he looked good first game. And, of course, there's going to be some nerves, but I thought more so than anything, John, I thought it didn't look like the moment was too big for him. Like, he looked like he could handle it, and you're going to get some of the ups and downs with rookies. That's just to be expected. But he didn't look like it was overwhelming to him at all.
I'd agree. And I think that was the case from the very first play. You know, welcome to the NFL. You know, J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones blow by yep. our offensive line on the first play, and Trey's got enough athleticism and instinct to pull up and make an explosive play for us out of that. And, you know, as you learn the game and see things, I mean, for instance, in that game, there were some unscouted looks that we knew we'd see. And there's no way to prepare for those other than just feeling them and seeing them. And I thought Trey responded in really good fashion. Look, you know, I think we all are aware that we got to score more points than what we did. But I felt like Trey did a good job. We talked a lot about having his back and everyone picking up their game. I'm not sure we did enough of that. And but I thought Trey Lance did a really nice job. And I think you can see there's a lot to be excited about moving forward with him.
You know, John, I've been railing on this all week, so I got to ask you. And I probably should ask this question to Kyle, because Kyle is the play caller. But you're here, so I'm going to ask you. You know, I love Mitchell. I think Mitchell's a stud. I want to see him run the rock more. And I think Sermon really looked like he's in a rhythm. But why did you guys feel like you wanted to run your quarterback 16 times? There was 11 of those were designed runs. This was his first NFL start. I mean, it was to me, it didn't seem like a smart plan nor a sustainable plan. But what did you think, and why did it happen? Are we going to see it again?
Yeah, like, you know, I think schematically some of the things that Arizona was doing, which we're seeing around the league, you know, people are really populating the line of scrimmage. And, you know, they're playing kind of two shell, which is two safeties back. They're not playing a safety in the box, but those guys are playing very aggressive. you know, kind of from 10 yards. And you got a guy like Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson, good safeties. And so I think it just set up that the quarterback runs were advantageous for us. I think everybody knows, like, you know, you're probably right. It's not sustainable to run the ball 16 times a game with your quarterback. I think that was more of a, you know, this particular game. I do think Trey does a really nice job. And, you know, as we're saying that, you know, he came out, you know, with a slight injury. But I do think on the whole, Trey does a really good job of protecting himself because he's a very instinctive runner. And, you know, but he's a physical player as well. So I think that's something we're going to have to learn to do. And I think a lot of that, you know, some of the impromptu plays that developed because of his mobility, that was new to our offense as well. And, you know, I think the one difficult challenge is, you know, in the NFL, the number two quarterback doesn't get a ton of reps. There's just, you don't have enough hours in the day, enough reps in practice. So whoever's playing gets those reps. And so, you know, last week, you know, since training camp is the first opportunity that guys have had. And, you know, I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve with Trey, you know, not only for him, but for the rest of our team. How do you respond when he breaks the pocket and things of that nature that you only get through time on task? And so that's a little bit of the challenge moving forward. But, you know, I also feel really good that we have two quarterbacks I know we can win games with. We got to get back to doing just that, winning games.
Niners GM John Lynch joining us on the UMA guest line here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks show. Were you guys able to pinpoint when Trey Lance hurt himself on Sunday?
No, and he still can't tell you. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people find that hard to believe. Believe me, it happened many times in my career. You're so full of adrenaline and excitement that, you know, even a couple hours after the game, and I don't think it was till Trey was, you know, deep in the night, I think he recognized for the first time, man, my knee's not feeling good. And then the next morning woke up, took his first step and said, uh-oh, and called our trainers, did the right thing. And so, yeah, it's not what you want from your rookie quarterback you've got so much invested in. But, you know, the good thing is it's not anything serious. It's something that we might have him back when we come back. You know, to face Indy after the bye, and it might, you know, if not shortly thereafter.
Well, if it makes anybody feel any better, I hurt my shoulder. I have no idea what happened, John. No idea. I was like, how'd that hurt?
Maybe it happened when you were sleeping.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that happens, John.
I was trying to retrace my steps. I'm like, I sat on the couch all day. What did I do?
Oh, let me ask you a question. Did you engage in a football game? Because that might have something to do with it.
No, I watched a bunch of them. I didn't engage in any of them. And
it's the way you reach for the remote.
You know, it's probably one too many beers, John, is probably what it was that hurt me. I know I've beat this drum week after week after week, and I'm actually getting tired of myself saying it, but Brandon Ayuk, we saw last week in just the two catches. The one on the sidelines was an incredible catch, and then the move he made on third down, I think it was third down, to catch it in the middle of the field one hand, and then just, you know, a little shimmy and then get to the sideline and get a first down. Doesn't he have to be more a part of the offense? Like, he has to be more a part of the offense for the offense to be more dynamic and get to where it wants to be.
There's no doubt about it. You know, very talented young man, and he's a hard worker as well. I think, you know, we've gone into – you know, great lengths to try to explain kind of what the predicament is right now. But the bottom line is we each have to find a way. I'm talking we as a team and Brandon as a player, because for us to get where we want to get, we need his talent and abilities on the field. Having said that, I think it's important you earn your opportunities. Yeah. You do that during the week. And it's not that if Brandon's not working hard, it's, you know, for whatever reason, he hasn't made the strides that we expect him to. We probably hold him to a higher standard because he's got so much in his body. And, you know, you want players. It's important for a team to see people earn those opportunities. I think there's been really good communication here of late in an effort to try to get that out of him. And he wants it. It's not as if he's a guy who doesn't work hard. I think it's just everybody getting on the same page. And so, you know, I think he's got to earn those opportunities. But, yes, absolutely, you know, I feel like it's really important for him to become a part of what we're doing moving forward, because he's got a lot in his body, and he's got the makings of a not just a starting football player in this league, but a very good one at that position, which is a critical position. And so I think to be able to complement Debo, particularly, you know, with George out for right now, we need that explosiveness in our offense. And you know, that starts, you know, this week. It starts every day. It's important that, yeah, that he finds a way to figure that out, and that's on us as well. So we need to do better there.
It's interesting you say that, because I mean, I know what that entails. It's being a professional. It's take care of all the little things, not just the game day stuff. It's taking care of the little things, know all the stuff, the playbook, and just everything you have to do. And I'm a big believer in earning your stripes, and I think nothing it sends a worse message to a team than playing a guy who doesn't do all the things necessary to get in a game and gets in a game anyway because he's super talented, and the coach says, well, screw it, I want to win, I'm going to put him in there. And that sends a bad message to the player, and then the rest of the team looks at it and goes, well, what are we doing then? We're trying to follow all the things. So, I mean, I totally get what you're saying. I completely understand it, and I'm just hoping that – and sometimes it takes guys a little longer just to learn what it means – to be a professional. Doesn't mean you're a bad player or bad person. Just means you got to figure out a way to be professional, and maybe that's it with him, and he'll learn. But I think we all agree, for you guys to be as good as you're going to be, he's got to be there.
Yeah, you know, I my own exercise. Sometimes you forget. You know, I went back actually this morning, and I watched every catch from his rookie year just to see it one more time, and that gives you hope. Because it's in there. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But it's time to take that next step, and that's incumbent upon everyone. So, you know, we need to get that accomplished.
You know, one of the things that I'm really surprised about with this team, John, is that you guys got a lot of talent and a lot of money tied in your defensive line, and usually that would result, you would think, on pressure on the quarterback and a lot of turnovers on the back end, but we're not seeing those turnovers. You played that safety position at a high level, and I think you got two decent safeties right now in Tartan Ward. But what is the key to getting turnovers, to get the takeaways? Because, I mean, you guys are turning it over too much offensively, but it's really being highlighted more by the fact that you're not taking it away on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think you hit on a really important element, that what's missing in our team right now. And you're right. Typically, if you're getting that pressure up front, it results in turnovers, or at least the opportunity for turnovers. And, you know, consequently, if you don't do it, this league is a very much, you know, people work kind of in three game pods. When you study an opponent, you're looking at the last three games. Other people are looking at the whole season. But really, players, that's what you focus on. That's kind of your, you know, what you game plan off. And of course, if they're a division opponent, you faced them before. But if people turn on the tape and say, you know what, there's no consequence for throwing the ball downfield, you know what they're going to continue to do is throwing it up downfield. And conversely, if you put out that fire by putting some things up and let, you know, some interceptions, you take it away when they throw it downfield. Kyler Murray's not so sure, just to kind of, hey, when in trouble, just throw it down there, because the worst that can happen is a incomplete pass. You know, we've had a lot of pass interferences. You know, we haven't taken it away. That has to change. The good news is we're getting the pressure up front that typically results in those. You know, that the bad news right now is it's not paying off with turnovers, and it has to for us to turn the tide. We're playing good defense, as evidenced by keeping that offense to 17 points. You got to do more, and we've got to find a way to make that happen. And you know, it's being in the right place over and over. It's when you have the opportunity, making good upon it. And this is professional football. You know, great effort's not enough. It's execution. It's players making plays when the number's called, and we got to start doing a better job of that. And when we do, that will start equating. And there is such a big correlation between winning the turnover battle and winning games, and we haven't been good at that. Arizona, conversely, if there's anything they've done well, it's they're taking it away, and they're doing a really nice job of protecting on offense, and that's a winning formula. That's why they're 5-0.
It was a difficult day for your offensive line, because a rookie quarterback who's unorthodox and definitely different than Jimmy Garoppolo, and the normal challenge of dealing with Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt and the rest of those guys across the line. I'm curious how you Mike McGlinchey's seen better days. I'm curious how you feel about his play and specifically the right side of the offensive line. Is it equal or comparable to what you're getting out of your left tackle and left guard positions?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't in this game for sure. And the left side of our offensive line is a very strong position. And, you know, Trent is, I really believe, and the more I'm around him, the more appreciation I have. I think he's one of the better players in football, not only offensive linemen. And his work habits reflect that. And when you combine tremendous work habits with tremendous ability, that's what you get. Lakin Tomlinson has really elevated his game. I think he's always been good and consistent for us, but he's been much better. Mike has been much better this season. He had a rough game, and, you know, J.J. Watt was aligned on that side a lot. J.J.'s a real smart player. We had trouble, and I think, again, going with a quarterback in his first game, our operation, I will say that Arizona, clock operator was real trigger happy. Like, right when they're pumping the 25-second clock, that thing was – every time I looked up, we were, like, at 12 seconds and just getting the play called. And so, but J.J. Watt, I know from people who've coached him, he does a good job of, like, you know, not necessarily looking at the snap count, but maybe watching the game clock and knowing that, all right, I can get off and I can get in their backfield and penetrate. And he disrupted. He was very good in that game. And JJ, when he gets that going, that's hard to deal with. He was predominantly lined up on that side, but, Mike will be the first to tell you that, you know, he needs to be better. I think on the whole, he has been. I think he would tell you this was a rough game, and J.J. Watt had a lot to do with that.
You know, it's funny, John. They had a stat this week that Trey Lance was the fourth youngest quarterback in the Super Bowl era, to make his first start. And the guy who he was one day younger than was Alex Smith. And they brought up Smith's day. His first game was against the Colts, October 9th of 2005. Alex Smith that day threw no touchdowns and four interceptions, and the Niners lost 28-3. And I just get a kick out of how everybody speaks with such definitive terms in not just social media, the media as well, about these players when they're obviously developmental. I mean, Alex Smith at the end of his career looked nothing like that Alex Smith from the first day. And I think I feel like Trey's going to grow by leaps and bounds because he's got a lot of the same traits that Alex had. He works at it. He wants to be good. He's a great athlete. He's smart. I just get a kick out of the fact that we put these labels on these guys. I mean, literally, it's almost like labeling a baby in the birth center what kind of life they're going to have when this is just the beginning. I mean, and how hard they work and really what kind of person they are is going to determine how much they improve in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, really.
Yeah, and I would submit to you, I think that goes a lot to why we had so much belief in Trey, because we think he's capable of handling that pressure. And, I think he's been built for these type of things. And he doesn't get caught up in all that. He gets caught up in finding a way to improve each and every day. And it was fun watching him last week, even at practice, because you can talk about it as much as you want. But I think there's a little bit of awkwardness when he's saying, this is not my team right now. This is Jimmy's team. And it's hard to how do I fit in? And last week, I think with, when Jimmy, it was made clear, and Jimmy has not made that awkward. I want to be very clear. Jimmy's been nothing short of great to Trey. And it's been a very, it's just been awesome to watch those guys, interact. But, it was cool to see Trey kind of step in there and assert himself. And he's got I've always believed with him, he's got the right mix of humility, mixed with confidence that I think is going to really serve him well in the NFL, which has always been that way, but particularly in the world you're talking about where judgments are made so quickly and you can't get caught up in that noise.
What's Kittle's status, John?
Well, George is he's on IR, so, he banks that game, the Arizona game, okay. You get the bye week. He needs two more games, okay. Indy and Chicago. And that was a really tough decision because it's like, man, he was close to playing versus Arizona. But I think at the end of the day, there was a frustration level on George's behalf, which is right. Like, listen, I can keep not practicing and trying to play, but it feels like I got a knife, dug in my calf there. And so at some point you have to make a decision. you know, and we were very careful to make sure he wasn't in jeopardy of a major injury or anything. But you just, you know, I think earlier someone talked about something being sustainable. That wasn't sustainable continuing to do that. And we're not going to have George Kittle. I would submit to you that George Kittle at 80% is better than most at 100. But you have to do right by George and our team by giving him the opportunity. We felt like with the bye week, this gave the opportunity to kind of knock this thing out for the year. And, you know, do we know that's going to happen with this time? No, but we have, you know, a lot of opinions that it is ample time for that to happen. So we're very hopeful that that's the case. And after the Chicago game, I believe for the next Arizona game, we'll have him at full strength.
I got to ask you, I know we got to run, but am I crazy to think that I love watching this guy play. I mean, he's just so much fun to watch play because of the way he plays. I also worry that the way he plays will cause injuries because he never gives in, never gives any quarter. He fights for everything on a football field, which I think is inspirational in terms of this is the way we're going to play. We're going to fight for everything. I mean, I love it. Just like I love Marion Barber when he ran for the Cowboys. I mean, the way that guy ran was incredible. That guy had a 5-year career, of course. Do you ever worry about that? And not to say you can do anything about it, because if he doesn't do that, then he's not George Kittle. But I also wonder, like, God, do we have to fight for every third of a yard when you're on the football field? And I mean, maybe the answer is right in front of my face, John, that, yeah, when you're George Kittle, you do fight for every third of a yard. But do you ever worry, like, God, maybe we could go down or step out of bounds every once in a while?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think
of course that's not
that
who you
someone.
Were. Why am I asking you, John Lynch? Why am I asking John Lynch this question? Yeah. Strike it. You did not hear that question. That was a stupid question, especially to you, a guy that played with about 100. You played with every ounce of energy you have. So I guess that's just who he is, the way he plays, right?
Yeah, and we can be grateful. My old coach, Mike Tomlin, you know, I don't know if he made it up or someone gave it to him, but he said I'd much rather be in a situation where I have to say whoa than I have to say sick'em, you know, to his players.
And, that's a good point.
And you'll never have to say sick'em to George Kittle.
No.
You know, that's just how he's made and how he's wired. I do worry. There's something about his game. He's like a high-cut athlete. It feels like his legs are exposed a lot and – you know, so I think there's some things about, you know, and I think he's gotten better at it, using his shoulder to, you know, people try to tackle him low because they're afraid to go high because he's really hard to tackle. And I think he's getting a little better at that. But, you know, like I'll tell you on this injury, that didn't happen. This was just kind of a chronic thing. I think he got stepped on in Detroit. That started it. And then it just kept getting worse. So, but. Yeah, I do worry about George, but I'm also very grateful that he's wired the way he's wired.
Yeah, wired a lot like you, and wired a lot like you in the way that you guys the way you guys play. You guys leave it all out there. There's no doubt about it. Hey, have a good bye week. There's probably not a bye week for GMs and coaches, I wouldn't imagine. It's just get back to work and find a way to win coming off the bye week. And best of luck when you guys get back. And we'll talk to you soon, John.
Hey, thanks, guys. You guys be well.
Thanks,
John. You too. Same to you.
This podcast is sponsored by Lucky California. It's finally back, football season, and your neighborhood Lucky California can help you celebrate at the tailgate party or on the couch. Grab a tray of wings, turkey or ham sliders, dips, and more. And don't forget, Lucky California has awesome prices on adult beverages, and you save 10% more when you buy just 4 bottles. Plus, you can order online and have it delivered so you never miss a snap. For all your football fun, start with Lucky California, the golden state of eating.
Are you thinking about getting a new car? Redwood Credit Union offers affordable auto loans for new and used vehicles. You can even refinance an existing loan with us. Our quick loan process will get you in a car you love. The road to your next ride starts at Redwood Credit Union. Easily apply online at redwoodcu.org/auto or ask for RCU financing at your dealership. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love.